budget, this is the Subcommittee on Education and Natural Resources. This is Tuesday, June 14th, 2005, and we're here for a work session on House Bill 5133, which is the budget bill for the Department of Higher Ed, and we are here for a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2122A, which relates to forest products harvest taxation. We'll start out by opening a work session on House Bill 5153. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, members. As the Chair mentioned, this is the budget bill for the Department of Higher Education, but I do want to point out to you there are actually two budget bills for the Department of Higher Education. There's an operating budget bill that finances their ongoing operations expenses, and then there's a capital construction budget bill that finances the acquisition and repair of the facilities of higher ed. Those are always separate bills by constitutional requirement. And the bill that you have before you today is simply the one that contains the operating budget. So there is nothing in today's work session that you will be asked to do that relates to making decisions on the capital construction projects for the next biennium for the Department of Higher Education.
But don't think that you're off the hook on capital construction projects.
I'd like to, I've distributed a memo to you today that is almost identical to the draft memo that you received yesterday. I don't know if you have time to even look at that draft memo, but I would like to point out in a couple instances when we get to them where there have been changes in the memo today compared to the draft memo, where I don't mention anything. There aren't any changes, and it's just the same as it was before. But I know that a number of you did not serve on the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means and therefore did not receive the benefit of the testimony in Phases 1 and Phases 2. And I obviously can't go and cover for you all of the information that was conveyed there, but I do want to just start. I think it would be helpful to talk very briefly about the structural organization of this budget so that these recommendations will make sense to you. And in order to do that, I would like to just refer you to a copy of a bill that I've distributed to you that you should have, which is Senate Bill 5513. Senate Bill 5513 is the bill for the Department of Higher Education operating budget that was originally introduced by the governor. The numbers here represent the numbers in the governor's recommended budget. And this is the bill that's in Ways and Means. This is not the bill that you're having a work session on today. House Bill 5153 is blank. And given your decisions today, we would then draft up a set of amendments that would look very similar to this. To put this language into House Bill 5153. But if I could ask you for just a minute to please look at House Bill 5513, I want to explain the organization of how the state finances higher education. In Section 1, which takes up almost the entire page, page 1 of this bill, these are the general fund appropriation line items that are in the budget bill. And you'll hear me talk about these things as I go through my recommendation. But you can see that the first line item amount, which is the preponderance of the general fund, goes to the education and general services of higher education. And the funds that are in this particular appropriation are available to the campuses and are available to the centralized operations of the department, such as the chancellor's office, to finance what most people probably think of when they think of what it is that the Department of Higher Education is doing. That's to say, to finance the primary education, research, public service functions of the department. These funds are combined. Well, let me go ahead. Then you'll see following three line items for the three statewide public service programs which are housed at Oregon State University. These are the Agricultural Experiment Station, the Extension Service, and the Forest Research Laboratory. And these three statewide public service programs have specific missions, and as the name implies, as we call them statewide, they do have operations that extend you know, throughout the state, and especially the first two of those have operations in areas throughout the state. Then there is general fund that's provided for debt service. We are going to have to make some changes in the language from what it was introduced here, and I'm working with legislative counsel on that, but we will have the actual language that will be consistent with the numbers that you're approving in time for the full committee when the amendments are drafted. So that's section one. Section two of the bill, you'll see that there are, again, a number of items. These are the other funds, which we refer to typically as other funds limited, because these are the limitations that you place on the expenditures of other funds. And you can see, again, there's the education and general services and the three statewide public service programs. There is not, again, anything for debt service here in the limitations. The important thing to realize is that these limited funds that you see in Section 2 in each of these four program areas are essentially combined with a general fund that you see in the associated program area in Section 1. And those combined funds are then used to finance the expenses and the costs of operating the Oregon University system. Then there are some additional appropriations, which we'll talk about, for sports action lottery. And there's a significant unlimited in Section 5. There are a lot of funds that are not subject, other funds that are not subject to limit. But with that background, if I may, Madam Chair.
And if I might just ask if there are any questions that the committee wants to ask on the structure of, essentially this is a real short course on the structure of the agency's budget. Representative Myers.
So to clarify then, we will not have before this subcommittee the actual numbers that would be plugged into the budget bill in the same manner as the 5513.
I can provide you with any of the numbers that you've asked for. My memo doesn't actually identify it in that manner, and as you know, typically in the Ways and Means process, we don't have amendments drafted at the subcommittee level. We do that after the subcommittee action. But I can certainly give you either now or later what the actual numbers would be. I would prefer to do that later to see whether you actually approve the LFO
recommendation. That's fine. As long as we kind of have a sense of where it is at the end.
I'm not sure that having the bottom line numbers is actually beneficial to us. I think that we gain more benefit from proceeding through the packages and taking
that's
a look at it.
That's why I'm more than happy to see them at the end.
Please proceed, Representative Jensen, did you have a question? I have a question
about the chair's comments that I'll reserve for the time being. I'm not sure that I can't deal with bottom line numbers, but...
Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
Sure. I'm now referring to the memo that I have prepared for you, dated with today's date, June 14th. That was distributed to you this morning, and as I mentioned, does have a few changes from the draft memo earlier. Part of those changes are in the table that you see on the front page. This table shows the amounts of funding that would be approved if you approve the legislative fiscal office's recommendation for this budget, for the operating budget of Department of Higher Education. It was pointed out to me this morning that there is still an error in this table. That error is in the column for LFO House recommendation. Other funds number there include capital construction, and I did not mean to include that there. So I can get you the correct number there. But the number for general fund, as you can see, that is the correct number for general fund. And you can see the comparison to the governor's recommended budget. That's the correct number for the governor's recommended budget for general fund. And you can see the amount that the was approved this biennium in 2003-05. So essentially, if you approve this, you would be increasing general fund for the Department of Higher Education from its current level of $659.9 million to $690.8 million. And there would also be an increase in the other funds, but not to the extent that they're shown here.
Madam Chair.
Representative Schaffler.
Bender, did these historical charts include capital construction?
No, the only number, it's not until the recommendation where I made that error.
What is that number?
Let me get that number for you. I have to do a quick subtraction.
Just give me the capital construction number. I can go here.
Well, the capital construction number that's included there under the other funds is $338,174,058. So why don't I just... I should have the correct... Yeah, let me just do
from
that
$1.4 billion number?
Yeah, I apologize that this was not correct.
That's all I needed. I can figure it out myself. So I have an historical comparison.
Let me give that to you, though, since I've just done it. The number, instead of the 1,415,422,276, should be 1,077,248,218.
All right. Thank you.
And that's the other fund in the House recommendation.
That's correct. And the total is similarly reduced by the same
right.
330. Hopefully that'll be the only error in here, I'm hoping.
Any further questions or comments on this? Let's go ahead then, Mr. Bender.
Okay. Our first recommendation to you, as you know, we always start with the governor's recommended budget and recommend changes to that. And our first set of recommendations are what we call the LFO analyst adjustments, and they're always in package 801 in the budget structure. And we always recommend that you approve them because they're the adjustments that we're recommending. And what it does in this particular case is it includes two adjustments, the adjustment for the reduced AG charge and the adjustment for the fact that the PERS contribution rate will be less than was budgeted for in the governor's recommended budget. The adjustments are described, and what they consist of is for the Attorney General reduction, we recommend that you reduce general fund in the Education and General Program by $121,428. And for the adjustment for the PERS contribution, to correct the budgeting for the PERS contribution, we recommend that you reduce general fund appropriation in total by $3,161,100, that you reduce the other funds expenditure limitations and the non-limited other funds expenditures by the amounts shown in the table on page 2 of the memo.
Mr. Bender, do you want a motion on this, or do you want motions as we go through the detail?
In the past, you've been doing motions on each of these recommendations, and that would complete recommendation one.
So. Okay.
I have a question, maybe.
Question, please.
So if I'm tracking this correctly, we would be reducing the general fund appropriations by $3,161,000, and I'm looking on page 3 of 27 on your detail. Is that number supposed to correspond with the LFO package 801 where it says 3,282?
Yes, it does. And the reason why it's not the same as the $3,161,100 is it also includes the AG reduction
okay.
of $121,428.
So
oh, it's a combination
great.
Of those two.
Thank
and
you.
As Representative Marsh has pointed out, on this table, it's shown on page 3 of 27 as the adjustment in package 801.
Thank you.
Are there questions on the LFO recommendation to package 801? I take a motion to move the LFO recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Thank you. Your next recommendation are the Ways and Means Adjustments, package 802. And in this particular package, we have an adjustment for the Sports Action Lottery Program. That is a program that provides funding for intercollegiate athletic programs that are non-revenue producing. and also provides scholarships for graduate students that are not related to athletics. These are just scholarships for graduate students. And the split between those expenditures is in statute. 88% of the funds go toward the intercollegiate athletic programs, and the 12% goes toward the scholarships. It's also the case that there's a dedicated source of lottery revenues for this program, and that's the Sports Action Lottery game. What this recommendation is for you to increase the lottery funds expenditure limit in the Sports Action Lottery by $182,342. This reflects changes in the revenue forecast for Sports Action Lottery since the governor's recommendation was put together, and it would allow a $300,000 ending balance to be carried forward to the next biennium.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation? Representative Hart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Sports Action Lottery, is that different than the in education policy? We're going about maybe eliminating one of the gambling provisions on...
I think that was the one you were going to be eliminating. Under that particular bill. I don't remember the bill number.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because I think that moved ahead, but I want to. So we might want to follow up on make sure we
well,
have
and
a poll there.
Is it kind of a general rule if that bill does make it through the system, there would be a reconciliation somewhere down the road to address
great.
That?
Thank you. That's I just was concerned.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Any other questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 802? I would accept a motion to move the LFO recommendation.
So moved.
Discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
The next recommendation is to make technical corrections to the governor's budget to correct some things that we didn't know or were not known at the time that that budget was submitted. And there are actually three items here. The first of the three items is we recommend, and I'm looking at the bolded language at on the first paragraph in page 3, that the subcommittee increase the other funds expenditure limitation in the education and general program by $26,598,484 and approve 119 positions, 119 FTE, to allow tuition and fee revenues proposed in the governor's recommended budget to be spent. As you know, or as you probably have seen, this budget is going to recommend a different tuition rate increase than is in the governor's recommended budget. The purpose of this technical adjustment is to adjust the limitation to allow the tuition revenues that would be generated at the governor's tuition rate increases to be collected so that if you do choose to approve a change in that, we're starting from the right point. It turns out that the number that was in the governor's budget would not allow the entire amount of the 6.8% increase in the first year and the 5% increase in the second year of tuitions to be spent. So this is a recommendation to make that adjustment and to approve the positions that can be financed with those amount of expenditures.
So if I might paraphrase, and please correct me if I'm not getting this correctly, but what this is an adjustment to the governor's recommended budget to actually just true it up so that we can do something else to it in further down the road.
Yes, we agree. It would be a technical adjustment in that sense, and then it would put us in the starting place when we do get to the package 815 recommendation.
Okay. Further questions or comments? Representative Schaffer.
I don't want to be too anal here, but it's $1 difference between the memo and this chart here. Was there an explanation for that?
Let me see.
$26,598,484, and here it's $483. Is there a reason for that difference?
Yeah. Rounding error.
Page 3.
I suspect you have a rounding.
It's actually a different number, I think. Let me...
It's neither here. I'll throw in the book. It doesn't matter.
No, I do want to find it.
Just move on.
Take the dollar when you get it.
Yeah, I just want to find...
That's not fair. Here, I got a buck here, I think. Last buck I got.
I thought maybe you threw them in there just to see if we were reading it.
I will double check that. I believe that the correct number is the 4.
I believe you do.
That's what I would ask you to do. That's what I would recommend that you approve. The amount in the memo.
Any further questions or comments on this? And then if there is none, we can go into the second part of the recommendation.
Thank you. The second technical adjustment is to add 362 positions to the Education in General program. These were omitted from the governor's recommended budget in error. So these would be in addition to the $119 million that are added specifically as a result of the other funds adjustment. And then the third recommendation, these last two, by the way, were in phase two before the Ways and Means. These were discussed. The third one here is to reapportion or reallocate the payment of state government service charges from other funds, non-limited other funds, into limited other funds. And that requires that you increase the other funds limitations by a total of $5,198,856 and that you reduce non-limited expenditures by $1 more than that to make that technical correction.
And could you talk to the committee about what the purpose of this change from non-limited is?
The purpose of the change is that without this change, the budget would be showing state government service charges being funded by a number of sources which are not actually eligible to finance those state government service charges. For example, some of them would have to be financed, I believe, out of the student aid programs that come into the higher ed budget without limitation. And that is clearly something that cannot really be done. So this shifts the... what would happen is higher ed is going to have to pay these state government service charges, and they won't be able to use that source. They're going to have to find other sources to do this. This increases the other funds' limitations to allow them, to give them the authority to finance those out of their limited other funds and to pay the state government service charges.
Questions or comments? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendations to package 811.
Technically, I'll move that.
I would technically accept that, then. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation 4 refers to a policy package. This is the first time we're looking at policy packages in the governor's recommended budget. As you know, policy packages are changes from the essential budget level that are being recommended by the governor. The first is that the governor recommends that you increase the other funds expenditure limitation for Education in General program by $22.7 million to allow OUS to spend the additional tuition revenues that will be collected due to anticipated enrollment growth in the upcoming biennium. And we recommend approval of this as well.
Discussion on the LFO recommendation to package 101. No? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation.
Moved.
I have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection. Without objection, the motion is carried. Mr. Bender.
The next item refers to a package which is in the higher education budget as package 102 and is called More, Better, Faster. What this is a package that, this is the higher ed portion of a project that you've seen earlier in the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development's budget. That is to develop an integrated pre-K to 16 student data system and to facilitate the transfer of student transcript and other student academic data between high schools, community colleges, and OUS institutions. The governor's budget includes a total of $2,176,250 of general fund as OUS's share of the cost of the system. We are recommending that you approve changes to Package 102 to treat higher ed's portion of this project in a comparable manner to the way you chose to treat community colleges' portion, and that is to, first of all, reduce the package by an amount, in this case $95,000, that represents expenses that for hardware and software that would reside on the campuses, and also for cost of training personnel. This is what you did for the community college component as well. And then we recommend that the remaining amount of the appropriation, we do recommend that you approve it, but that you appropriate the funds not to the department but to the emergency board, and that you approve this, the following budget note, which is identical to the language that you approved for the community colleges in the community colleges budget, which requires a report from the Department of Education, Department of Higher Education, and the Department of Community College and Workforce Development to the Emergency Board on the design, architecture, and total cost to complete the data system and to report on the timeline for completion and implementation at the time that they request the special purpose appropriation.
Questions or comments on Package 102, including the budget note? Representative Mark.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And Steve, I recall us doing this with the Community College and Workforce Development, with the exception of the phrase would become available to the Emergency Board for any lawful purpose. Did we include that language in the Community College and Workforce?
Yes, you did. And frankly, that's sort of boilerplate language that's put into every special purpose appropriation.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen it said for any lawful post-secondary education, but since I missed it the first time, I'll let it ride.
Further questions or comments? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation for Package 102, including the budget note. I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion carries. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation 6 refers to a policy package in the governor's budget. It's Package 103 that appropriates $1 million of general fund to campuses for the recruitment and retention of highly qualified faculty. We recommend that the funds be approved. They are within the House Chair's budget plan. However, we do recommend what we would consider to be a technical correction to that, in order to that you distribute a portion of the $1 million out to the statewide public service programs in the proportions to which they have faculty financed by general fund support. So this would shift $190,842 to the statewide public service programs, as shown in the chart on page 4. Please note that on the Oregon State University campus, there are faculty positions that are financed jointly by more than one of these budget sources, so that if a particular faculty member were to receive funds from this appropriation, if it were all in EMG, that faculty member would not be eligible for these funds, whereas this would distribute that. We also recommend that you approve the budget note on the following page to identify these funds and to state that institutions shall use the funds allocated to them from the $1 million approved in this package for the purpose of recruitment and retention of highly qualified faculty, to clarify that as its purpose.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 103, 201, 301, and 401? Jefferson Park.
I'd just like a comment. It would have been nice if we were able to provide more for this category, but in as much as the $1 million is not the entire salary package, but rather the supplement to retain these highly qualified folks or attract some of them to Oregon. And we've got some really terrific professors here that are being wooed daily from other institutions. I really support this package.
Thank you. Further comments? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to faculty recruitment and retention, including the budget note, for packages 103, 201, 301, and 401.
So moved, Madam Chair.
I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection? Without objection, the motion carries. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation 7 refers to another package in the governor's budget, package 108, which deals with fee remissions, which are tuition and fee discounts that campuses offer to students. And the budget, the package in the governor's budget did the following. During the current biennium, that's to say last session, the legislature approved a limit on graduate fee remissions, which are basically funds that are used to pay graduate students who work as teaching assistants or as research assistants. It also approved a limit on programmatic fee remissions, which are fee remissions which typically are not done in exchange for any type of work, but are provided to students to reduce their tuition and fees. The limitation that was approved in the 03-05 biennial budget was 8%, that these fee remissions not exceed 8% of gross tuition revenue. The package that the governor recommended was to increase the limit from 8 to 10% this year, this biennium, I'm sorry, this upcoming biennium, with the understanding that the limitation would be eliminated entirely beginning in the 07-09 biennium. However, the House Chair's budget allows the subcommittee to repeal the limitations on both programmatic and graduate fee remissions effective in 05-07.
Comments and questions on the LFO recommendation to package 108? Representative Marks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Fee remissions allow a number of students who, even with an opportunity grant, could not afford to go. And I think this is a wise move, and the institutions themselves are pretty judicious about how they use this. So at some point, they're not going to give away more tuition than they get.
One would hope not.
So I also heartily approve this package.
Thank you. Any more comments? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 108 fee remission.
So moved.
I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion carries. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation number 8 refers to package 109, which is in the governor's recommended budget and which authorizes $20 million in certificates of participation for information technology equipment and systems purchases that have been identified at various campuses that would be financed by these COPs. LFO does recommend approval.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 109? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 109 relating to certificates of participation. I have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Without objection, motion carries. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation number 9 is very closely related to the one that we just approved. This is package 116, Certificates of Participation Debt Service. The $20 million in COPs are anticipated to have debt service payments due this biennium of $1,954,552. These are not limited and paid from other funds available to the institutions, and we recommend this as a component, you know, to go along with package 109, which you just approved.
Questions or comments? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 116 relating to COPs for debt service.
So moved.
Is there a question or discussion? Objections? Without objection, the motion carries. Mr. Bender.
The next package is Package 110 in the governor's budget. Package 110 provides $250,000 of general fund to support the operations of the Natural Resources Institute at Oregon State University. LFO recommends approval.
Discussion on the LFO recommendation? Representative Jensen.
Is this a static amount?
This is an amount that would be equal, I believe, to what was provided to them last session under an emergency board appropriation, or under the appropriation last session.
Thank you.
Further questions? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to Package 110 relating to the OSU Natural Resource Institute. There's a motion. Is there discussion? Objection. Without objection, the motion carries. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation 11 deals with Package 112, which is the Forest Research Laboratory expenditure limitation increase. And if you approve this, this would increase the expenditure limitation, other funds expenditure limitation in the Forest Research Laboratory by $3,817,451. The reason for this package is that the primary source of other funds limited to the Forest Research Laboratory are a portion of the tax collected, a portion of the proceeds of the Forest Products Harvest Tax, which is a tax, privilege tax levied on the harvest of timber that is based on a amount per board feet. So it's based on the volume of the harvest. The Forest Products Harvest Tax, traditionally and as proposed again, is reviewed every 2 years, and the rates of the Forest Products Harvest Tax are reviewed every 2 years, but the tax sunsets absent a specific action on the part of the legislature to extend it. The bill that would extend House Bill, the Forest Products Harvest Tax, is House Bill 2122, which is also on your agenda today for a public hearing and work session. LFO would recommend this package, but in order to have the funds to finance this package, you would need to approve an extension of the Forest Products Harvest Tax in House Bill 2122, and I don't know, Madam Chair, if you'd like to go into a public hearing or work session on that bill now. It seems like that would be probably the logical thing to do before considering Package 112.
I think in terms of the certainty and not having to come back and do this, that is wise counsel. And with that, I will close the work session on House Bill 5153 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2122A. Mr. Bennett.
Madam Chair, members, we have distributed a copy to you of House Bill 2122A. This comes to you after having been to two other committees of the House of Representatives. If you pass this, it will then go on to the House floor. We are actually, LFO is not actually recommending that you do pass this today, though. If you look at the bill, you can see that there are a number of elements of the Forest Products Harvest Tax, and that different components go to different entities. On lines 6 through 12 of the bill, this refers to the portion of the privilege tax that funds the Forest Research Laboratory. And the current rate is 67 cents per 1,000 board feet. We would recommend that you approve continuing the rate at 67 cents, which would be to replace the blank in line 7 with 67 cents. That would provide the funds needed to generate the monies for Package 112. There are other blanks in this bill that refer to the amount of the tax that would finance fire suppression efforts and the Department of Forestry's budget. We do not recommend that you move forward on those portions of the bill today. rather, we would recommend you make a decision on the component on line 7 and then hold the bill for later consideration when we work with Forest Department of Forestry's budget.
And are there any questions or comments on Mr. Bender's presentation of House Bill 2122? What I'd like to do is call forward anyone who wants to come testify on this bill. I think that no one signed up, but it is important to have on the record that the forest products industry supports the continuation of the 67-cent tax rate. So, Mr. Miller, thank you.
For the record, my name is Greg Miller. I'm the government affairs manager for a Weyerhaeuser company. And it looks like all of my compatriots have left me. And so...
That means you're free to speak for them.
It means I'm free to speak for them. I can't speak for everybody, but we're in support of the continuation of the rate that you have put on the record of 67 cents per thousand board feet for the...
Thank you very much. Would the small woodland owners care to come forward?
Just chipping away at this.
Good morning, folks. For the record, my name is Mike Godin. I'm Executive Director of Oregon Small Woodlands Association. I, too, have been kind of put on the spot. So, again, we are supportive of the current rate of 67 cents. We've spoken over time to OSU and others about the harvest tax rates this year, so we're in full support of keeping its current rate. We're very supportive of forest education and outreach. We think it's great value for money for the state, for public and private good to have the research lab and all extension agents fully funded the best we can. We think it's a good value for money.
Thank you very much. And with that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2122A and open a work session on House Bill 2122A. Mr. Bender, what we need to do then is move 67 cents into the bill?
Correct. We would recommend that you approve a conceptual amendment to replace the blank on line 7 on page 1 of the bill with the number 67.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation? I would accept a motion to move the conceptually amend House Bill 2122 by adding 67 cents on line 7. I have the motion. Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion carries, and we'll close the work session on House Bill 2122A and reopen the work session on House Bill 5153. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, we're now on page 5 of the memo, recommendation 11, which I started to mention earlier. This, the assuming that House Bill 2122 passes as you have amended it, there will now be the funds to finance this expenditure limitation increase. Again, this is not increasing the activities above the current level of activities at the Forest Research Lab. It's just allowing them to be extended.
Okay, questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 112 as it relates to the Forest Research Lab expenditure limitation increase? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 112. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion carries. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation 12 relates to package 117, which is debt service on the Portland State University City Tower. The capital construction budget includes a project or allows for the Portland State to acquire the City Tower 4th Avenue building. As I mentioned at the start, you're not considering capital construction decisions today. The reason, though, we're discussing this today is because if you do approve this later when you do the capital construction budget, Portland State University would acquire this facility and assume the debt service on bonds that the City of Portland, the current owner of the facility, has issued. And these debt service payments would amount to, as you can see at the bottom of page 5, $4,715,580 in the 0507 biennium. Since debt service is an operating budget item, We have to consider this in the operating budget. What we're recommending is that you approve this now with the understanding that if when you go to the capital construction project you do not approve that particular project, the university would not need to spend these funds. These are non-limited, so it's not even a question of limitation, but they just wouldn't be spending them.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 117? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question on this, assuming that this were to move forward. And I don't know what the interest rates are on these particular bonds, nor do I know what, you know, their ability to call them, you know, might be as such. But if there's cheaper rates out there, there's nothing in here that precludes them trying to take advantage of cheaper bonding rates.
That is correct. There's nothing in here that would preclude that if that is an option that's available.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 116 as it relates to debt service on PSU City Tower. Have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Without objection, motion carries. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation number 13 is for you to approve package 813, which would be a program reductions package. What this package contains is program reductions that are included as part of the overall balancing of the state's general fund 0507 budget. LFO recommends that the general fund appropriation be reduced by a total of $11,943,595. This would conform with the House Budget Committee Chair's balanced budget proposal. And the reduction is identified in the following five components. There would be a reduction of $700,000 from the governor. All of these, of course, reductions from the governor's recommended budget. There would be a reduction of $700,000 general fund and five positions in the chancellor's office budget. These amounted to in the governor's recommended budget, they rolled up the reductions that had been approved by the State Board of Higher Education in the Chancellor's Office budget to a full biennium, and then restored or added back some funds to allow five additional positions and some additional expenditures. The House budget proposal does not include this restoration, so we're recommending that $700,000 be taken out. There's also item 2, elimination of general fund support for the Western Undergraduate Exchange and fee remission equity targeted programs in the resource allocation model. That involves a general fund reduction of a bit over $1.6 million and the elimination of five positions. I meant to double check this before this morning's meeting and I forgot. I'm pretty sure that the fee remission equity program was the lowest priority general fund program in the department's prioritization. I think the Western Undergraduate Exchange was pretty low, too. I don't know if it was the second lowest. It may not have been. But these two programs are recommended for elimination of funding.
Representative Schaffer has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're adding people and getting rid of people. Do the positions we're adding, the people that the positions we're eliminating here, the folks that currently fill them, will they be able to go to the positions we're adding? Is there, so people don't get laid off? That's what I'm asking.
I think it would be a decision that the system would make about how to reallocate people.
Okay.
There are probably more rules than either of us are willing to comprehend at this point that govern those kinds of decisions.
I understand. Thank you.
And I do need to mention that positions are handled differently for higher ed in the state budget than for most agencies. When we talk here about a reduction in positions or addition of positions, we are generally not identifying specific persons like we do for state agencies. The third item...
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Jensen has a question.
I have concern about this reduction. I have concern about the reciprocity that goes with this, and I think from the sounds of it, obviously Oregon students would probably not receive that type of reciprocity when they were looking to go out of state. Express that my concerns, you know, with this during the phase one of, or phase two of this budget. But I just want to make my concerns noted here at this point.
Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
The next reduction is a $1 million general fund reduction in support of the campus public service programs targeted program in the RAM. The funds in the campus public service program support a number of public service programs at the various OUS campuses. This would reduce funding by $1 million. Some of these campus service programs may be reduced or eliminated. However, the campuses do, this does not require that the programs themselves be eliminated if the institutions use other resources available to them and shift those into the budget. The next item...
Representative March.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is another area of concern. I'm certainly concerned actually about all the top three here, the Chancellor's Office reduction. You know, I think we've gone a little too far, and I'm getting feedback from campuses that in years past there was a feeling that the Chancellor's Office was too big, and now there's they're getting to the point where they're worried that the Chancellor's Office isn't big enough to service the central needs of all the universities. So it's, you know, we've maybe swung the pendulum a little too far to in the cut direction at this point. And I hope in the next session, if we're not able to restore this session, which doesn't look like it, that we're able to restore some to the Chancellor's Office. And also the public service programs serve there's a huge number of these, and some of them are very small, but the amount of the money that they're getting from through the budget here multiplies because they get federal funds or they're getting funds, Western Historical quarterly to the Population Research Center to work at U of O to the veterinary. You know, I mean, there's a variety of services in this category, and I'm a little worried about the cuts that we're making here.
Okay. Any other comments? Let's proceed.
I'm just going to show my ignorance here. I've seen this before, but what exactly does RAM stand for?
RAM is the acronym for the Resource Allocation Model.
Okay.
And what the Resource Allocation Model is the distribution, the way that higher ed distributes the education and general fund appropriation to campuses and other programs.
I've seen it before, but, you know, I don't see it spelled out.
Every
single document, when you throw these in here, I'd really appreciate you reminding me what I'm at, because...
Representative Schaffler, I recommend that if you want background on how the RAM is constructed and how it operates, that you need to block out a large block of time. I'm sure there will be folks on the system that would be glad to talk to you about it.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Bender.
Recommendation four probably isn't that clear the way I've written it out here. It maybe needs a little more explanation. But in the last session, the legislature, as part of its budget balance, reduced general fund for the Department of Higher Ed's IT purchases by $5 million and allowed them to finance these expenses through certificates of participation instead. What the governor's budget did was it contained a fund shift back to general fund, because indeed this was envisioned last time as a one-time shift away. So the governor's budget reshifted the funds and restored the $5 million, plus the general increases for EBL to account for the cost increases. It came out to $5,118,500 general fund. But again, in the course of balancing the budget, the House chair has determined that this cannot be funded from general fund this time around. So we recommend that you reject a fund shift from other funds to general fund in the governor's recommended budget and reduce the general fund by $5,118,500.
Questions or comments?
I did receive word that there was some issue here with the committee as to whether they should be allowed to again issue COPs for this. My understanding was that the House Chair's budget did not replace the reduction in general fund which with new authority to issue COPs. I don't know if you've heard anything differently.
That is my understanding also.
That is your understanding that there's not a COP. Okay, well that's what this recommendation says. And then finally, the fifth recommendation is, as you know, the House Chair's budget has a 3% reduction in general fund support for services and supplies and capital outlay. And we recommend that as well. That includes a total reduction in general fund of $3,477,319. If you add up these reductions in the five components, you'll see that they come to the total that's in bold at the top paragraph of number 13, $11,943,595.
Okay. I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 813 program reductions. Have the motion for discussion? Objections? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Mark.
No, that's an objection.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I just... making an observation here that concerns me when I look through these programs at the number of FTE that went with some of these, which seemed to me to be a lot of FTE for the small amounts of money that we have with it. Somewhere along the line, I'd like to visit with the university system on that, what has happened in the past there.
March, did you have comments or do you
no? I was just going to do an objection. To
oh, okay. Objections.
I'm not objecting, Madam Chair, but I wish we had more money to do a lot of more stuff. I just want to get that on the record. Thank you,
Representative March. We should be noted as being an objection.
Exactly.
To this package.
Okay. He's a conscientious objector.
Then with Representative March's objection noted, the motion passes. Mr. Bender.
The next recommendation refers to Package 814, which is a set of program restorations. This package contains general fund to restore program reductions, and these are all conforming with the House Budget Chair's balanced budget proposal. In total, we recommend that you increase the general fund appropriation by a total of $17,400,000 to finance these four restorations. The first is to the Education and General Services Program. Includes an increase in general fund support for undergraduate education of $13 million. The funds will be distributed to campuses through the undergraduate cell values in the resource allocation model.
There's my definition, Madam Chair. I paged backwards. I should have read forward. Forgive me.
So this will then be distributed to the campuses primarily based on their undergraduate enrollments. And we estimate that the $13 million would increase the amount of funding for undergraduate education through the cell values by more than a little over 8% in that from the governor's recommended budget level. There are also restorations for the three statewide public service programs, which all had reductions in the governor's recommended budget from the essential budget level. And these restorations include $2.3 million,
in the Agricultural Experiment Station budget, $1.8 million in the Extension Service budget, and $300,000 in the Forest Research Laboratory. And we note again the associated position changes we'd like you to note.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 814, Representative Krieger?
Just note, in my opinion at least, the Ag Experiment Station and the Forestry Research Lab, historically over time, I think have brought a lot of revenue to Oregon as far as technology and advances. I think it's money very well spent.
Further comments? Representative Jens?
I would just like to echo Lieutenant Krieger's comments that I think these have been extremely valuable programs. As we heard when we went statewide, no matter whether we were in Portland or in Klamath Falls, the message was the same as far as these programs are concerned. So I think this is truly money well spent.
I concur with the comments made by Representative Krieger and Representative Jensen. I think that all three of the statewide public service programs, the Ag Experiment Station, the Extension Service, and the Forest Research Lab, have a huge impact on the economy of the state, and that this is money that's very well invested.
Madam Chair.
Representative Schaffer.
I just wish we advertised this. We don't do a very good job of marketing what we do down here. We just get beat over the head for screwing up when we are doing some good things. So I just wish we advertised better. Maybe there's a marketer out in the crowd here that can help us do that.
I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 814 program restorations.
So moved.
Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion. Without objection, the motion carries. Mr. Bender.
Recommendation 15 is a recommendation relating to package 815, which would be tuition and fee rate adjustments. The governor's recommended budget supports tuition and fee increases. And the fees I'm talking specifically about here are what is known as resource fees. The resource fees are additions to the actual tuition that are charged to students that are mandatory and that are combined essentially with the tuition revenues and with the general fund in order to support the education in general program. These are all subject to limitation. Tuition expenditures and resource fee revenues are all subject to the limitation you approve. The governor's budget approves tuition increases for resident or undergraduate students, those are Oregonian undergraduate students, of 6.8% in the first year of the biennium and 5% in the second year, on average. It varies by campus. You've probably heard this as 7%, 5%, but actually, when you go to the first decimal, it was 6.8%, 5%. Overall, if you look at all categories of students, including the graduate students, including the non-residents, the rate of increase in the governor's budget averages 5% the first year and 4% the second year. What Package 815 does is it provides general fund support so that the tuition and fee resource fee rates do not have to be increased as much. The general fund would replace any of the reduced tuition and resource fee revenues so that there would not be any need for program reductions if the tuition was not raised at the rates approved in the governor's budget. As you probably know, there was earlier a proposal to freeze tuition in the House Chair's balanced budget, but in order to address some other issues and to provide some of the restorations that you approved in package 814, this recommendation has now changed. What we recommend is that you increase the general fund appropriation to the Education and General Services Program by $15.4 million and increase the other fund's expenditure limitation by the same amount. to allow average tuition and resource fee increases for resident undergraduate students to be limited to 3.25% the first year of the biennium and 3.5% the second year. So instead of the 6.8 and 5, it would be 3.25 and 3.5. We further recommend that you further increase the general fund appropriation to the Education General Services Program by $5.1 million. So the combined amount in Package 815 is actually $20.5 million for rate relief to students. For this second $5.1 million, though, that would not be used to bring the tuition rates down for all students. Instead, this would allow institutions to increase their need-based fee remission awards by $5.1 million without loss of revenue. So essentially, $5.1 million of the funds that you're providing for relief would be directed toward need-based fee remissions. The remainder would be directed toward keeping tuition increases rates moderated for all students. And we also have a budget note to clarify one thing. I just want to point out to you that this budget does not actually, you do not in this budget actually set tuition rates. By law, tuition rates are set by the State Board of Higher Education. All you are doing here is providing direction to them and adjusting the other funds limitations so that they'll have enough money, so they'll be able to spend money if they do certain things. We therefore recommend that you approve the following budget note to clarify to the State Board of Higher Education what this funding is for and what you expect them to do under this budget. If I may read that, the approved budget includes $20.5 million of general fund to limit tuition and resource fee, including the energy surcharge fee increases, to resident undergraduate students. Total system-wide resident undergraduate tuition revenue may not increase by more than 3.25% in the 05-06 academic year and 3.5% in the 06-07 academic year. Changes in tuition and resource fee revenues attributable to growth or decline in resident undergraduate enrollment are not factored into this limit. So they can get more money if they get more students, but the rate per student are limited. We recommend, continuing the budget note, the State Board of Higher Education may allocate the general fund monies provided to campuses in a manner that it determines to be in the best interest of the Oregon University system. And finally, the subcommittee further expects the department to limit resource fee, including energy surcharge fee revenue, to no more than 9.1% of gross tuition revenue. Two reasons for this last thing. The 9.1% represents a continuation of the current level, the amount that was currently approved for this biennium. And the amounts that you're paying, the $20.5 million, include funds to keep the resource rates, the resource fee rates down to a 3.25% and 3.5% increase as well. So this, we recommend that you approve this budget note to give your direction to the State Board of Higher Education as to what you expect them to do under this budget.
Questions or comments on the LFO recommendation to package 815, including the budget note? Representative Schaffer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With great reservation, I'll support this because I don't like to increase fees or tuition. But, you know, I'm not going to go into my spiel, but the folks that want to raise taxes don't want to take advantage of the wealth, and the folks that want to take care of the wealth of Oregon don't want to raise taxes. And that brings us to this. So, thank you.
Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we're not taking public testimony in general, I wanted to put a few things on the record. We had a lot of discussion about this in the full committee, in the Ways and Means sub. And, you know, there's the tension between the opportunity grant funding and what if we put enough in there versus the fee remissions versus the tuition costs, and trying to come up with a package that's affordable for students. And I know the students were hoping for that we're shooting for a zero increase, but we're hoping for at least to keep it in the 2.5 annually range, or 2.5, and maybe up to 3. But, and we're pushing beyond that. On the other hand, we have done, some of my votes notwithstanding, a pretty good job in the opportunity grant in compared to past years. And we're also allowing some flexibility for the institutions of higher education, at least, to do fee remissions. So I see a balancing act here. It's maybe not a perfect balancing act, but it's certainly a balancing act that tries to incorporate adequate support through the opportunity grant, opportunities for fee remissions to catch those people who maybe just fall in between the cracks or need that little extra assistance, and also keeping the overall tuition from increasing more rapidly than approximately the CPI. So, while I have mixed emotions about these numbers, I see, we're putting money back into fee remission. We've approved fee remission, other factors here. And I think overall, for the higher education portion of this, I think it looks like an appropriate approach. We may need to look at going back and seeing if there's something we can do about the community college side of post-secondary education and those students, whether we have any opportunity at the end to do some backfill in that area.
And I very much appreciate your comments, Representative March. I think the issue that we had with the first proposal that the co-chairs came out with was that the money was distributed very inequitably amongst the campuses. And so the discussion then focused on how can we had a very high priority on increases to tuition for students. We wanted to hold those down as much as we possibly could, but we also needed to address the issue of equality of funding amongst the campuses, and this emerged in our discussion with the system as an equitable way to kind of divide up the pie. So I think that the tuition increases here are still an issue, and as a parent that pays that tuition, I understand that issue very well. But I think that we need to look at the broader configuration of needs here, just be including the tuition increases in it. And I think that this package does do a good job of holding the increases at a much more reasonable level than parents and students have been experiencing over the last 3 years. And that as we pull out economically from the recession that we've been in, that we can continue to work on this concept and try to deliver a fair and equitable funding package so that the system as a whole will benefit equally.
And just to follow up, I mean, the real tragedy here is the amount the state is paying towards a higher education. It has declined. The share we're paying is not kept pace with the rest of the system, and we really need to, if we want a first-class system, we need to step up and pay for it.
I absolutely agree there, but then I would go back to that discussion that we've had before, that where education may be the foundation, there are still a lot of other rooms in the house that have to be taken care of. So I do appreciate that, especially in Oregon. I appreciate the work that the system has done to answer our questions and accommodate our information needs, and I very much endorse this recommendation as a workable solution. And with that, I would accept a motion to approve the LFO recommendation to package 815 for tuition and fee rate adjustments.
So
I have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Without objection, the motion carries.
I'm
Chair, that completes the recommendations relating to general fund appropriations, other funds expenditure limitations, and other financial items. You have one other item before you in your work session today, and that is to approve agency performance measures. As you see, we've distributed a table that lists the agency performance measures. Higher Ed is a department that is one of the leading departments in terms of use of performance measures, and they have a highly developed performance measure system. There were a number of changes, though, that were recommended by the department or by the co-chairs or by the committee when the Ways and Means Committee, when they were looking through the department's performance measures. I would like to just briefly mention a few things about these performance measures as they are indicated here. First of all, for the targets, where targets are indicated, LFO is recommending the use of the department's targets. So we have not changed any of the targets that the department has recommended for those items that do have targets shown. All performance measures, by their nature, do have targets. So if you look at one and you see that there aren't any targets listed in column 5 or 6, that typically means that, well, there's always a reason for it. And the reasons are typically that these are new performance measures that are being added and targets have not been developed for them yet, or they are performance measures that are still in the process of being developed, so clearly there are no targets for them yet. Or we are recommending that they not be included as performance measures for reasons that we can identify. And we have, again, in almost all cases, concurred with the committee's, with the co-chair's recommendations and the department's recommendations on how some of these should be handled. In a couple of cases, though, where the co-chairs have indicated that they weren't interested in retaining a particular performance measure, we actually, our recommendation is to continue that because we do believe that the department views these as ways in which to measure their performance and that the information is potentially helpful to the legislative process. Please note in column 9, there are a number of ways that these are identified. If you look on page 1, you'll see that the third goal there says delete, keep internally. For all of these, and if you go down, you'll see there are other ones that are delete, keep internally. What we recommend is that you not require them to be kept as performance measures where particular targets are set, but that you require the agency to continue to keep this information and to provide it to the Legislative Assembly as part of its budget presentation, although there would not be specific targets for them. Some of these we are recommending that they simply be deleted at the request of the co-chairs or of the department. In some cases, we are recommending some modifications. Typically, those modifications would be at the department's request. So unless there are questions about any specific ones here, which I'd be happy to answer, this does represent the list of LFO recommendations for performance measures for you to apply.
And I noticed, too, that for the performance measures that are still under construction, that the department is to come before the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to talk about the work that they're doing on them. Are there any questions or comments on the performance measures? Representative Chance.
Madam Chair, I don't know whether this is exactly the right time or not, but it probably would relate into the performance measures as far as my concerns are. One of the concerns I've had and have with Department of Higher Education, OSU, or Oregon University System, is the failure or inability to attract some Oregon students and the number of Oregon students who are going out of state. Last week, as some of you will recall, the Pendleton Roundup Queen and princesses were here that we introduced on the House floor, out of the young ladies, five young ladies from the Roundup Court, only one of those young ladies attends an Oregon University System school. Three of the girls attend out-of-state schools, and one went to Willamette, which I suppose, given our physical location, we have to forgive, physical location here at the Capitol. We have to forgive her for that. The point of importance and what I'm getting to with the performance measures and with concern that I have is I asked the young lady specifically why you didn't go to an Oregon university. And all three of them, separately, when I talked to them, told me the Oregon universities acted like they didn't care for whether we went here. Now, I don't know the academic credentials of all of them. I do know the academic credentials of one of them because I sit on a nonprofit that gives scholarships, and I reviewed her application to that nonprofit, and certainly the academic qualifications were sufficient that she would have been competitive at any university, including Ivy League schools in this country. And the statement then really bothered me that none of the Oregon universities actually acted like they cared. And I think for a performance measure for somewhere in the future, I'd like to, she's an animal science major, just for the record. In the future, I'd like to see this as a performance measure that we look at the and maybe we recruit in other areas of the state. Maybe it's just Human Health County that we discriminate against on that.
Mr. District.
In which case, I have to go back and look at my support of the statewide services, I guess. But I really would like to see that issue addressed.
Mr. Bender, would you please make note of this issue and have the information be given to the Legislative Audit Committee to Dallas so that we can get the file? And this can be an item of discussion when the system comes before the Audit Committee.
And if I may point out, performance measure number 30, which is on page 4, would be an added performance measure that would measure the freshman participation rate, which may in some ways address your concerns, Representative. This shows the percent of the high school graduating class, including homeschooled students in Oregon, that attend an Oregon university system. This would be immediately following, I believe, the fall immediately following graduation. Some, of course, wait a little and come later, but this shows that the 20% that you found for the Roundup Court is sort of the statewide average.
And it is an item that has been discussed, that we are very interested in measuring how many Oregon high school graduates go into the community college system and the four-year system in Oregon. And I think the big issue here is that this requires a high degree of cooperation with data between the K-12 system and the community college system and the higher ed system. And the technology is just not there right yet. But it is definitely an area where we could gauge the success of the system.
I appreciate, Madam Chair, I appreciate, the need for data and evaluation of it, from there. And Mr. Bender, I did look at the freshman participation as I was going through here, and I see it's an added thing, and there's an asterisk on it, which I'm not sure what the asterisk may mean. But I assume it's probably undeveloped at this point,
And if that particular performance measure could fit the concern that I have, and I think it probably could, as long as it were written in such a manner as to address some of those issues.
And we will definitely have that noted on the agenda for the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to take up.
Thank
Representative
you.
Krieger.
Was there any discussion, because I wasn't part of this, of the percent of graduates who are actually using the degree as employed 1 year after graduation, something of that nature where, in other words, the fact that you go to school for 4 years or 6 years doesn't mean that you end up using it. Anything?
There was some discussion of that, and you will not see a particular performance measure on this list that does include that, because we did hear that there is difficulty in actually evaluating in terms of data, which, you know, for different degrees, for example, it may be clearer as to whether you're being employed in a particular field than for other degrees where there may not be a specific field that would be directly related to that. So I think that this has not been included because of concerns of developing a performance measure. That would
performance measure 27A and 27B try to get to that issue. Representative Shoffman.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I went through a great system in Iowa, and I think we have a good system here. And I could understand why they wouldn't care about me. My wife went all through community college, undergrad, and graduate school here in the state. And I hope and pray my little girl, they care about what if she applies. But I'm fairly confident all she'll have to show is her sim and cam scores, and she'll get right in.
With that, I would accept a motion to approve the recommendations to performance measures in the LFO memo.
So moved.
I have the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And I would also accept a motion to move the LFO recommendations in the June 14, 2005 memo into House Bill 5153.
So moved.
Have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection?
Just might be a good time for me to get those numbers from Mr. Bender.
Oh, okay.
If you have them available. If not, I can get them after.
Well, I could get if you're willing to get them after.
That's fine.
We'll get them for you immediately after.
That's fine.
Do you send them all to all of us?
Oh, you all want them?
Yes, buddy. And whenever you get around to.
Well,
that way.
If we give you a few minutes, could you do it?
Sure.
The committee will stand at ease. Go for it.
The number on page 1, line 9, Education and General Services.
Wait a minute.
That's
okay.
That is, I think I might have some extra copies of this if people can't find it. The number that is $548,907,205, that would be replaced by $567,529,863, and there would be a new section which you don't see on the bill that would add the special purpose appropriation to the emergency board for higher ed in the amount of $2,081,250. So that would be general fund. That would go to the education and general program, but it's going first to the emergency board.
Right. This is the more better, faster.
Correct.
Thank you.
The number for the agricultural experiment station, instead of being 49,345,558, would be 51,369,793.
Could you repeat?
Certainly. 51,369,793.
the number for the extension services would be 36,549,087. The number for the Forest Research Laboratory would be 559. The numbers for debt service would not be changed, though again, I believe we have to change some of the wording there, because I believe that the wording of 5A is not correct. Okay. Are you interested in the other funds, too, on the next page?
Oh, if you've got them, we might, since we've gone this far. Okay. Thank you.
On page 2, line 4, the other funds limitation for education in general would be $1,028,236,969. For the agricultural experiment station, it would be $16,402,937. For the extension service, it would be $22,845,353. For the Forest Research Laboratory, it would be $9,762,959. In line 14, Sports Action Lottery amount, instead of the 5561 number, it would be $5,744,213. The debt service on lottery bonds number is unchanged. And I think that's all the numbers.
18, right?
Pardon?
Line 18
is unchanged. And I think that would be the changes in the numbers. I would ask that, although I'm pretty sure all those are right, that you again, in your formal motion, approve this. And if there's anything more than just a small calculation change, we'll let you know.
Okay.
So thank you.
We can move the staff up.
Yes.
Okay, and we have the motion to move the LFO recommendations as detailed in the memo into House Bill 5153. Mr. Bender has given us what we would at this point say are the tentative amounts. Are there objections to the motion? Without objection, then the motion is carried. And I would accept a motion to move House, or where are we here? House Bill 5153 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. I have the motion. Is there discussion? Objection. Without objection, the motion is carried. I will carry this one.
May I make one comment, please?
Yes.
Just a correction to the number I gave you.
Okay.
The number that I read off, the first number I read off for you for Education General Services, the 567, 529, 863, that actually includes the 2 million.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be extra. Okay. That includes it.
Oh, that's okay.
So the actual number would be less than that on that line.
Thank you for indulging.
And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 5153 and adjourn the committee.